Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side.
Shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
Grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts for this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
I'm Craig.
Please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching, and go ahead and pull down on those safety bars because we will not be doing that for you. This is another milestone episode, listeners. Big number today.
What would that be, Dotson?
Episode 39.
39.
I mean,
honestly, every day should be celebrated.
When I think of major numbers in one's life, 39 is a big deal.
It is. I turned that age this year.
In just a few weeks. See, exactly.
Me too.
As the old saying goes, 39 is very fine.
Is that how they say it?
I've actually never heard that saying.
Well, today on episode 39, we have a recent trip rundown for you. And guys, whose recent trip rundown is it?
Big Fat Pandas?
It's not our friend. No, it's not his.
Josh.
No. It's my recent trip.
That's right.
I just got back from Walt Disney World. And so today...
Before we start, listening to this music in the background, I feel like I'm sitting on the edge of my bed at Disney. Because that's what I usually do in the mornings. I'll cut this music on and sit there and just listen.
It's a very good way to start your day.
I'm getting all the information that everybody so forward looks to every morning.
I tell you what, and it was weird for us this time, and I'll get into this a little bit more later, but we didn't have the must-do Disney channel to watch because we weren't in a Disney resort.
Ooh.
And our son Bruin was actually kind of upset, wanting to know where is the Disney channel. According to him, that's the Disney channel, is the must-do Disney.
He's got a crush on that woman.
Stacy? Yeah, probably. But, yes, today I will be recapping parts of my trip. We're actually going to break this up into a two-parter. Today, our first part of the recent trip rundown is going to be logistics and Legoland. And then the next part, we will be covering all things Disney. So today we're going to kind of look at the logistics side of my trip. And also, I did go to Legoland while in Orlando, and I'll share some thoughts on that as well. So, gentlemen, do you have anything else you want to add before we get into this?
Hey, this is almost a solo show, I think.
It's definitely not a solo show.
I was waiting for some April Fool's, since yesterday was April Fool's, but I guess we'll skip that.
Well, Craig, it's funny you mention that, because I actually read this morning where Animal Kingdom's closing.
Okay, that's terrible.
They've decided to close
April Fool's?
You've caught me.
That was good.
You're pretty terrible at this, aren't you?
That was good, Matthew. I think we just start from the start, if you will. Tell us about how did you get to that area?
I was born in
how did you get to the Orlando area?
Okay, well, we got there via automobile, and that was a first for our family.
Honestly, that's disgusting.
Well, for our listeners, how many hours is that?
I didn't use diesel fuel.
Use solar power.
And we also didn't have a car full of cabbage. Now, what did you ask?
You use solar power and wind, right?
We definitely met some wind resistance on the way down.
How many hours does it take you to get there from here?
So I think we talked about this back on episode 3, travel.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed some options about what it would be like to go in a car, what it would be like to go in a plane, costs. And so I kind of have some research numbers for that. But the way we went is we went south through Birmingham and all the way down to Florida and then headed east over to the Orlando area and then south more. Our goal was to avoid Atlanta traffic just because we hear horror stories of Atlanta traffic. And we left on Friday afternoon, March the 23rd, which is apparently the kickoff for a lot of spring breaks here in Tennessee.
You found out?
And I did find that out the hard way. And it doesn't matter if you were going through Birmingham or Boston or Atlanta or...
And this is leaving from Middle Tennessee for our listeners
that aren't
aware.
hour outside of Nashville. And so the projected travel time was about 11 and a half or 12 hours, probably closer to 12. It's about an hour shorter if you go through Atlanta, but again, we're trying to beat traffic. And I think by the time we had stopped and gone through traffic, it was more like 16 hours total travel time. We left out on Friday afternoon. We had a hotel reservation in Dothan, Alabama, because I knew it was a busy travel weekend. Google Maps said we'd get there in about six and a half hours. It ended up taking us 8 and a half. We stopped and ate for an hour. We stopped at Olive Garden. It was my wife's birthday, so we celebrated that. But we ran into, it took us about an hour and a half to get through Birmingham. And I'm not, you know, we got through Birmingham and then it just kept going and kept going.
The Birmingham, suburbs, the Atlanta of Alabama.
That's where, there you go, Derek.
The new title for it.
So, so we stopped and stayed the night. We had to break the trip up. We have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, as many of you know. And so we got up the next morning and left Dothan around 8:30. And I think we finally got to Orlando. Of course, we lost an hour because of the time change. Not because I just lost it, guys. But we finally got...
Displaced an hour?
We finally got to Bonnet Creek about 4 o'clock. That included a couple of stops for restroom breaks and lunch. And we also ran into some traffic about an hour outside of Orlando. So I got off the interstate and went through what seemed like 50 stoplights trying to get back on the interstate to get around that traffic. So it just exhausted.
And the toll roads.
And you went through 200 toll roads.
I think it was 2 toll roads, I believe.
That was close.
Yeah, it was just 2. And then what killed me was I had to pay the toll to get out of the city twice.
Yes.
But I'll say more about that. But so it took a long time. And what we gathered from that was if you're going to drive, I think you have to be creative of when you go. I talked to a listener of the show, Michael Harrison, before our trip, and he said what they usually do is they'll leave at 10 o'clock at night. He'll go home after work, sleep, and then they'll just drive all the way through the night. And I told Sissy, if we come back via automobile, that's probably what we're going to do. It's just knock it all out in one fell swoop.
We left for Gulf Shores last week while you were in Disney, right. And we left it about 10 o'clock. And drove through Birmingham, drove straight down. It took us less than 8 hours to get to Gulf Shores from Middle Tennessee. So, yeah, that is the way to go. There's hardly any traffic. No, if there's any construction, it's very limited. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Let your kids sleep in the car. So, those of you listening.
As long as you don't sleep.
Yes. Now, I'll just go ahead and talk about what we did on the way back. We got up early, got the boys ready, and put them in the car while they were still sleeping. And left about 5 a.m. on the way back and got 3 hours in before they even woke up and didn't run into any traffic, got all the way out of Orlando. So we made a lot better time going home. We went through Atlanta, and we ended up stopping in Chattanooga because we had some tickets to use. But I think if we'd gone straight through, the return trip would have only been about 11 hours, and that was with stopping and taking a couple breaks. So
so your suggestions for driving down is – go at night if you can, but
yes.
Secondly, breaking it up helps out too. I know when
it
we
does.
Drove the first time, our kids were 5 and 10, and stopping through the other side, about Dothan where we stopped as well, it makes a big difference because we enjoyed the pool and things like that, so we made it a mini trip on the trip.
Yeah.
So, now, did you just drive straight through when you went, Derek, when y'all drove?
No. I can't remember where we stopped though, but I know we stopped.
Didn't you say an Econo Lodge? I remember the Econo Lodge.
I think it was Motel 6.
It was probably booked on hotels.com 20 minutes before we arrived.
Yeah, which is a much better place to use than guest reservations. Don't get me started.
Oh, no.
But so I did try to keep up. So that's kind of the numbers, the hours. But, I mean, all in all, the boys were... I kind of griped and complained a lot on the way down, as I tend to do when I'm stuck in traffic. But our boys were very good. They were very cooperative in terms of understanding that we were going through that traffic. So kudos to them, and kudos to my wife for putting up with me. But I did try to keep up with some numbers as far as what we spent on the way down, on the way back. Now, this was factoring in stopping and staying the night on the way down, but not on the way back, because – If we hadn't had those tickets to Chattanooga stuff, we wouldn't have stopped. I didn't do a very good job of keeping up with exactly what we spent, but ballpark figure, we spent about $450, between $450 and $475 Most of that was on gas, just getting there and getting back home.
Because you got the guzzler now.
We do have a, it gets almost 18 a gallon. So it's
almost 18. Bad.
But that's when his foot's not in the floor.
That's right. So, and again, that was with one hotel stay. That was with a couple of meals. One, you know, one Olive Garden meal, kind of a sit down meal, and a couple of fast food meals, and then snacks here and there. So yeah, about a round trip, about $450, $475, which is a lot less than flying, but I tell you,
far less efficient.
Far less efficient.
You're paying for convenience.
We were about 5 hours, you know, we're stuck in the middle of Birmingham, and I'm thinking we should have just driven.
Because you're talking from Middle Tennessee.
You did drive.
We should have just flown. It's early, Derek.
You're talking from Middle Tennessee, it's about 2 hour flight.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, it's, yeah, it spoils you.
Now, so they, I mean, it's so far it sounded kind of bad, but I do want to talk about the pros of having a car there.
Yes.
Because this was something new to us, is we've always relied on Disney transportation to get us from the airport to the resort, to get us around. Yes, Derek?
But again, you had to have transportation.
Right.
Because you were not on Disney.
Because property. I was not on property. Just to speak to having the vehicle there, it was awesome. We loved having a car because we didn't have to, you know, we got up in the morning and, you know, we wanted a rope drop Flight of Passage.
You knew you weren't going to have to go wait on a bus.
Exactly. And so we knew, hey, the park opened at 8. We had to leave at 6:15. But again, we didn't have to worry, is a bus going to be here that early? We went right down. We got in our vehicle. We drove over. I still had it was the last days of my annual pass holder. So I didn't have to pay for parking, just flashed them the AP. And
that early, the traffic, even getting through the stalls there, as you come in the gate.
Right.
There wasn't that bad
there
either.
There was no cars in front of us. We parked right up close. I flashed my DVC renter card, but that didn't.
Okay, I just got to stop you there. That's the second time you've said that, and we have to say not to our listeners. Yeah. Do not flash.
Please don't flash.
Oh, sorry.
That's, yes.
Well, I showed them the DVC renter card, but it didn't do anything.
And they looked at, they said, "Sir, what is that? Is that AAA?
I asked if there was a special entrance for DVC renters, and they didn't have one.
They said,
one.
"Yes, please back up and leave."
But we parked. We got there very early. There were already several cars there, which I'll get into on the next half of the trip report.
And then you realized it was a gas station.
No, almost
it was the Hess. You were at the Hess station, weren't you?
Yeah, yes.
He was at the what's the Speedway?
Richard Petty? That's where I was. Made a wrong turn. Ended up in this closed property. But we parked, and it was a 5 minute walk to the main entrance. And Sissy and I talked. It was really no longer of a walk than you would find yourself if you got off a Disney bus. I mean, because they park pretty far away.
I'm sorry. I just had a picture go through my mind of you and your family at Wally World running across the parking lot with it. You parked way out, so you
were
the first ones out.
They directed us to the nearest spot.
I can
spot.
See you and Sissy run across the parking lot jumping, and I'm sorry. I just had that flash.
You can. There he says flash again.
Oh, sorry. Oh, we got to quit using. That's the word of the day now, flash. Yes.
You know, if you get there early before rope drop, you're gonna be close enough to where you won't have to use a tram in the afternoon to get to your vehicle. And so not only that, you know, we were able to, the same thing at Magic Kingdom, we got there early, didn't have to wait on a bus. But the awesome thing about Orlando, we live in a small town, so we're not used to this, but you're pretty much 10 minutes away from everything. So we were able to go, we got to the theme parks in 10 to 15 minutes. We got to Chick-fil-A in 10 to 15 minutes. We got to Walmart. We needed some groceries and some other things, and we got there within 15 minutes. So it's nice just having that vehicle there. Yes, it's a long haul down there, and that can be a pain, but once we were there, it was fantastic.
Isn't it kind of strange as well when you're on site, you don't think about leaving the premises.
Right.
But you left the premises, went to Walmart, went to Chick-fil-A. You don't think about that when you're actually on site because you just didn't enter your mind, but yeah. You have those, you know, that ability to do that when you are off. And you can do it when you're on site as well, but you think about it more and the convenience is more and the food is cheaper so on and so forth.
And you have those, you have those options. So one thing I'll talk about here in a second, our 1 year old got sick. He woke up one day and we were able to get in our car and drive to a clinic. And so you had that freedom.
I wonder if children get sick because we have a car. Because Boone had an ear infection when we were down there and had the car.
Well.
So I think kids may get sick because we have a car.
It's
being in those gas guzzlers.
That's it. But in some ways, having the car, and I'm going to talk more about Disney in the second part of this trip report, but in a lot of ways, having the car enhanced our Disney experience, I think, because Sissy and I both agree, we were in the parks 2 days, and they were two of our best days that we've spent in the Disney parks. And I think a lot of that had to do with getting our day off to a good start by we didn't have to stress out about a bus, got there we wanted to do, and kind of our day just fell into place because of that. So I think there's a lot to be said for having a vehicle. It made me even think, you know, if I do fly down there in the future, I may rent a car, depending on what we're going to be doing. Now
and pay parking.
Well, that's the bad downside of that.
But the nice thing, too, is when you do park, you're just like everybody else, then you can use the Disney transfer station to go wherever you want to go. If you,
yeah.
You know, if you park hop, whatever, you don't necessarily have to get back in your car and drive to another park. You can just use Disney transportation and come back to your originally parked vehicle.
Yeah.
When you get ready to leave. So
that was another thing, too, is we didn't have to worry about waiting at a bus stop at the end of the day. You're ready to leave, you leave.
I'm glad you got the experience since you haven't yet. I think all three of us have now, and I think it's there's pluses to both. I mean, again, convenience and being there in 2 hours, being home in 1 hour is very, very, very nice.
We missed that.
but the driving, there's some conveniences once you get down there.
Maybe,
it's to each their own.
Maybe in the year 2050, you'll be able to teleport your car there.
Let's go there right now.
Let's don't. Oh. Okay. Let's don't do that for a long time.
Yeah.
So you had another first time.
Yes.
Instance this time. So
what? Go ahead and say here, and you'll add this also in the other episode. Who joined you for some of your trip?
Well, so it was my wife and just the two boys, and this was the first time going there down there. Just the four of us. Mm-hmm. We'd gone there with my mom, but Josh, our friend Josh Humphrey from EZWDW, he joined us for a few things, and I'll talk about that a little later, and also in the next trip. But yeah, it was good to see Josh, and I want to go ahead and say thank you to Papa KJo's. They gave me some free pork rinds to take to him. To prove that they were superior to the pork rinds in the Magic Kingdom and much less expensive.
Did they keep?
So they did, actually. They kept for the 3 days that I hauled them down.
I honestly don't think there's expiration date on pork rinds.
No, I mean, I didn't know if they were kind of like donuts. You know, donuts are best within the first 24 hours.
From being a former person who worked around pork rinds, the salt content is so high, that stuff is preserved forever.
Sure, they're good for your health.
It's like aluminum cans. It will forever be with us.
But thanks to...
with plastic, is what I should say.
Thanks to Devin over at Papa KJo's. If you're ever in Centerville and looking for some good barbecue, head to our friend Devin over at Papa KJo's. But, yeah, it was our first time to stay off property. We stayed at the Wyndham Resort at Bonnet Creek.
Which is how far from Magic Kingdom?
About a 10-minute drive to the Magic Kingdom parking structure. It was about a 10-minute drive to Animal Kingdom. It was good, centrally located. It is right next to Caribbean Beach Resort.
And okay.
Something I don't know the entire backstory, but something about when they were acquiring this property, this was one of the areas they couldn't get, was Bonnet Creek. Now, Bonnet Creek is actually, I told Sissy, it's like it's in a bubble within the bubble, because it's in the Disney bubble. It's, you drive through the big sign that says, "Welcome to Walt Disney World," and in a couple minutes, you're at Bonnet Creek. We were able to stay there because my wife's aunt is a Wyndham member, and we actually stayed there for free. Thanks, Aunt Trish. Want to give you a shout out.
She's a Wyndham member.
She is. And so we got to use her points to stay there, which is the whole reason for the trip. The Bonnet Creek Resort was extremely nice. There's a lot of rooms. It's made up of six large towers, and so, which we had a one bedroom suite, which was, we loved it. We had a lot of space, a lot more space than we'd have at a Disney resort. And so my recommendation is if you have a relative that's a Wyndham member, hit them up for some points.
That's the reason the first time we went, we drove, is because we were staying off-site. We have Blue Green/RCI, so we were able to stay at Orange Lake. Lots of choices there through RCI, but Orange Lake, we paid $154, I think it was, for the whole week to stay there. And like you said, we had a two-bedroom, living room, big kitchen, and then they had a massive property with a lazy river and all this other stuff, which we never used. But yeah, there are great benefits if you don't want to be at the parks all the time, of just enjoying the hotel. And y'all probably, like us, didn't enjoy the accommodations of the hotel as much because you were over at the parks.
Yeah, we had intended to. We did, you know me and the resort pools. They had. Again, they had six towers, and I think every tower had its own themed pool. There was one themed to a pirate ship. There were several several slides at the pool. There was two lazy rivers that I saw. There were two or three kiddie splash areas, which our boys got to enjoy some. I mean, there were pools galore. And so if you're a pool fan, Bonnet Creek is for you. They had a great playground. Our tower happened to be right in between a kiddie pool, a playground, and a putt-putt course. And
oh, wow.
Bruin and I went and played putt-putt one morning. That's all free for those staying there. There are tons of activities going on. I think they had a dueling pianos night one night. They had an inflatable movie screen out on the lawn, much like Disney does a lot of their hotels. One night they had a magician / comedian performing. And so there's a lot of nighttime entertainment at Bonnet Creek.
Demolition Derby.
Didn't see one of those. Oh. But, I mean, and it's well themed too. That's one thing Sissy said. And Josh, he actually came and took a look at it one day. It reminded all of us of Caribbean Beach in its theming, not in its construction, Derek, but.
Or bus stops.
Yes. Well, again, we were able to just walk out to our car.
Matthew just drove around the complex for several hours.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, there were grills set up. A lot of families were there cooking their dinner. And so in several restaurants, one very nice restaurant, Deep Blue, but a lot of little quick service stops. And we loved it. We loved Bonnet Creek and can't say enough good things about it. If you have an opportunity to stay there for a good price, I think if you're wanting more space and you don't want to pay the premiums that Disney's asking you to pay for like a one bedroom or even an Art of Animation Resort suite, I think you can probably find one at Wyndham for much cheaper. And we had a bedroom. Bruin and I slept on a pull out couch. We had a kitchen area. We had a dining table. It was just very nice to be able to spread out and settle in.
I would prefer to stay somewhere if I'm going to stay off Disney property, but still be in Disney property.
Yeah,
I would look at Bonnet Creek. Or
yeah, and they had signs pointing to Bonnet Creek Resort, but you know the purple Disney signs. This was like a completely different color, different fonts. It's kind of Disney's ways of saying, well, this way is Bonnet Creek, but we have nothing to do with it. So. Like I said, it was like a bubble within a bubble.
Well, and probably for a wife with a sick child, it was nice having that extra room too, because he could be in the bedroom asleep or whatever, and she could be in another room enjoying that. Where at Disney, that'd be hard to do,
right?
In most of your rooms.
Yeah, it was good. So, I've talked a little bit about driving, a little bit about staying off property, and if you have any questions about any of this, email us grimgrinningguys@gmail.com. One other thing, I do want to give a shout out to the Centricare Clinic there in Orlando. We were in Animal Kingdom all day Sunday. We woke up on Monday, and Keegan, our youngest, it was almost as if he couldn't wake up. He could wake up, but he was just, you know, it was like he was in a fog, and we'd never seen him act like this. He was shaking, and so we start panicking. His temperature was at 100. We get in the car. We rush to the closest urgent care clinic. That's going to be at least an hour wait, the people that are waiting in there. They sent us to Centricare, which is affiliated with the Orlando Hospital, and we got in there, and by the time we got there, he was in bad shape, and the nurses could tell. And they got us in right away because it was kind of an emergency situation at that point. His temperature had jumped to 104. They had to take chest x-rays. He ended up having pneumonia. He was okay, but I say all this to say this. Centricare is a great option. And if you don't have a vehicle, you can call them, and they have a van, a little shuttle bus, that they come and pick up people to bring to the clinic. So hopefully that doesn't happen to you on your trip, but they are affiliated with the hospital, but they still are an urgent care clinic in terms of what they charge and what's covered and that sort of thing. So
we probably want to add that he was sick, but he got better. The great care, not that you were an awful parent and said, well, he's sick, but I'm still going to Disney.
No.
Make that very clear.
He did take it easy for a couple of days at the resort. And
we don't want the hate mail to start rolling in.
The doctors assured us that if the fever went down and he was acting better, he could go back to the parks and it would be good for him. So
I'm sure they see that often. That,
yeah.
You know, you got a family there and you're like, oh, we spent all this money,
yes,
but we want to make sure our child is better.
And we checked with his pediatrician too, listeners. Right. So it was, but he went to Magic Kingdom 2 or 3 days later and had a great time and was fine. So, poor little guy. But if you run into that situation, Centricare Clinic. Two thumbs up.
Awesome.
Get the Grim Grinning Guy's gravestone.
What?
No.
Yeah.
Two gravestones?
Two gravestones up, yeah.
Is that kind of like...
That's our ranking system.
Okay, all right. Yeah. It's like our gold star. You get a gravestone. I don't know if people would appreciate that or not, but Maybe we need to dune buggy or something better, but
yeah, we got something like that.
One hitchhiker for your
the golden hitchhiker award, kind of like the cranberry sauce can of honor.
You got your trip down, your drive, and then your stay off property, and anything. Surely there's something else new that you did.
Oh, is there? So that's the logistics side. I guess it's in the title of the episode. So let's talk about Legoland.
Ooh. Let's do.
I want to start.
Did you build Legos?
I did not. Although, in every queue, you know, Legoland really goes all out. And in every queue, they just dump a bag of Legos and say, hey, kids, play while your parents wait in line.
Oh, I thought maybe they dropped it in your way, so you had to step on it.
And
that barefooted. Hurt. Nothing's more painful.
And believe you me, those kids are going to need to play with those Legos, because you will be waiting a while. So, first of all, on Monday, Keegan gets sick. Tuesday, we plan to go to Magic Kingdom, which, with Disney tickets, they're flexible, right? So we were like, okay, we'll move this back to Wednesday. I emailed the Legoland Resort saying, hey, we're having to change our trip around, modify our trip, probably end up cutting it short. So, and again, it's a 45, 50 minute drive from the Orlando area to Legoland. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Didn't want to subject him to that long drive being sick. So first of all, it took me for a day and a half to find a phone number. Wasn't really a day and a half, but it took me a while to find a phone number to contact Legoland. I finally do contact them, and they tell me, I explain the situation, how we want to get a refund for our tickets. They essentially give me an email to email someone else. I get an email back from them that said, well, it'll be 5 to 7 days before you get a response because it's a busy time. I'm like, well, great. That does me a lot of good. So we make the decision that we probably need to at least try to use the ticket. So Sissy on Tuesday is going to stay at the hotel with Keegan, and Bruin and I and Josh, I invite Josh to use the third ticket. We go to Legoland on Tuesday. We were supposed to use them on Wednesday. I'd bought them at a super saver rate. A one-day ticket for Legoland is $95. Ha, ha, ha. But I'd bought them at a super saver rate, so they were $75 approximately because I said I was going to go on this one day. So I get there. I explained the situation. I brought medical documentation from the Centric Care Clinic. Look, this is what happened. I tried to call or email someone. I haven't heard back. And the lady initially, first of all, we get there, and there's 4 guest services windows, all of which are closed. So we have to go to the ticket window and wait for the people that are buying their tickets. We finally get up there. The lady says, let me see what I can do about switching this date. So I'm thinking, it's going to work. And I come back, sorry, because these are super savers. But we're going to have to charge you $20 more a ticket. So let's just say Legoland, I guess they're in dire straits if they need that $60 extra to pay the light bill or something. But
I'm just sitting here wishing I could be there just to hear Josh's commentary on this whole thing.
It was good. He was pretty reserved, but
and he said that's one way to do it. When the lady charges $60.
You know, he explained that he talked about a similar situation he had with Universal, and the point is, you know, yeah, they're getting that extra $60, but I'm not harboring any goodwill toward them for that. You know, whereas we have friends that had situations at the Walt Disney Resort where, yes, it's expensive to go to Disney, but, you know, we had friends that got paid $500 extra and were, given extra fast passes because of just an inconvenience that they had to face. Before I go on, I have a greater appreciation for the Walt Disney World now. Yes, it's expensive and prices are going up, but the quality of customer service they have, the value that they place in, they understand, I think, that situations arrive.
There's probably somebody listening saying, look, you're talking about Disney, though. They own ABC. They own all this stuff. They can afford to do that. Legoland, a little bit smart. I understand that, but it's customer service what it comes down to.
Right.
And it's whether you do it or whether you don't. It made a lasting impression on you what they didn't do at Legoland, right, but it made a less impression on what they did do at Disney. And Disney doesn't have to do that. And you can look at it the other way around. Because Disney is a multi-billion-dollar company, they don't have to do it either, because what's your money to them?
Right.
But they do that because that's their whole outlook on everything and all the people that come there.
Yeah. But if I hadn't had that experience, odds are I would have enjoyed Legoland a lot more, because Bruin, and this is where I want to talk about the good part, Bruin did love it. Gila, which he's four, and they say, I think the park is designed really for 4 to 12 year olds. And that makes sense because Josh and I could barely fit in a lot of the ride vehicles that we had. It was very
again,
painful.
We are put a little asterisk. You are 6'7".
Yes, though. I'm 6'7". And so not designed for me. But Bruin loved just getting pictures of all these Lego sculptures around the park. Can I get my picture with this? Can I get my picture with this? It's like a no weight character greeting because they have all these Lego figurines that are his size and a lot bigger. And he loved just getting his picture with him and seeing those Legos. And he's not even a huge Lego fan, but he Bruin loved Legoland. And, I think that's why, obviously, you know, grown women probably aren't going to Legoland, a lot because it's designed and geared toward kids. And so to talk about some of the good things that we experienced there, the rides for kids were great.
So how much was your Super Saver? How much did it end up costing?
It ended up costing $95. And again.
Per person. And a ticket to Disney is how much a day?
Well, depending on the day, you can get them as low as 100. I mean, it's, you know, people give Disney a hard time about raising the prices, but the other Orlando theme parks are not far behind. Cool. Let me just kind of walk you through. We got into Legoland. It looked cool. You know, both Josh and I agreed it had a good vibe to it. It wasn't that crowded either. Now, let's say we're going at one of the most crowded weeks of the year, the week before Easter, spring break week. We hopped on the double-decker carousel, first of all. No wait for that. That was fun. We then went to the 4D movie theater, and I think they have three different shows that they have throughout the day. We checked out one about Lego Knights. I don't know anything about Lego characters, so the plot was lost on me, but Bruin loved that. A lot of effects in the theater. Kind of like a 3D show you'd see at Walt Disney World. We then kind of walked around. They had a mini land, which is probably a several acre area of models that have been made out of Legos. There was a recreation of Washington D.C. and all the monuments there. There was a recreation of San Francisco and the Golden Gate Bridge. There was a recreation of the New York City skyline and the Daytona Speedway and the Kennedy Space Center, a lot of other things. There was a whole Star Wars section, different planets recreated from Star Wars. And a lot of these you could push a button and things would move and rise. And we spent about 15 minutes there, but Josh mentioned that you could spend hours at Miniland. The downside of that is there's no shade, and if you're in the hot part of the day, it's going to get very warm. But, you know, we love just looking at the models that have been made. Now, probably my favorite thing that I saw there, they had a water ski show, a pirate-themed water ski show, and you had a lot of these pirates doing tricks. Derek?
No, I was just, it wasn't squirrels water skiing.
It was not. No, I've
seen that some on YouTube.
And was it actual water, not Legos?
It was actual water. Oh, okay. Yeah, it was out on this huge lake. I don't know the name of the body of water.
I just, in my mind, Legoland, everything should be made of Legos.
But and
the people waiting on you should be made of Legos.
They might as well be for what they're doing. But it was pretty funny to see at one point in the show, four Lego men water skiing, four people dressed up as Lego men water skiing out there on this lake. That was pretty funny. But a lot of cool tricks. It was well themed. I mean, it was a Disney caliber show, but unlike anything you'll see at Walt Disney World because a lot of awesome tricks with the water, and of course, Bruin was into it. Any of the kids like pirates? Captain Brickbeard, I think, was the star of the show, was his name. But that was really cool. And then we decided we probably need to ride some rides. And I'll just tell you what we rode. We rode the Ninjago ride, which was pretty awesome. It's one of the newer rides. It's kind of like you're in a live-action video game. You're using your arms to, like, throw things. I'm using my arms here as if the listeners can see me. But you're using your arms to throw.
And for us to understand what it means when you use your arm to throw. Thank you.
To throw things at the bad guys, which by the time I was off of it, my back was very sore and very tired. You know, you think of how tired your arm is when you play Toy Story Mania.
Right.
Imagine your whole back and triceps being tired after throwing things at bad guys.
It's a workout.
It was. But that was fun. You know, it was cool. It was 3D. We rode Coaster Saurus, which was a wooden roller coaster. They had a whole one car operating that day, so the line moved as slow as possible. You know, it's crowded, most crowded week of the year. Let's just let one car go. And I'll say this, too. We only had about 4 hours in the park. We kind of slept in that day. I thought we'll just go and kind of hit things toward close. We were only there from about 3 to 7, so we had about 4 hours in the park. Do rope drop it if you go to Legoland. I think you can get a lot more. Obviously, you'll get a lot more done. It's one of those parks where you probably want to spend the whole day there if you're going to go all the way out there. It was open for 9 hours, so it doesn't have Disney park hours. It opened at 10, closed at 7. But by that time, there was about an hour left until the park closed, and weights were starting to drop. We rode the Lost Kingdom Adventure, which is kind of like a Buzz Lightyear ride, not that advanced, but you're shooting targets trying to get points. We rode Merlin's Challenge, which is kind of like an old carnival ride. Bruin loved it. And then the one we were, I think, most looking forward to, we rode the Dragon a couple of times before the park closed, which is like it's kind of like a mine train in that it starts with it's a dark ride and then it turns into a roller coaster. But Bruin really loved that. And we closed the day with some apple fries, ooh, which is kind of what they're known for. If you go to Legoland, you got to get the apple fries. They are even better than what I expected them to be. So on the snack front, Derek.
They come with some kind of, like, cinnamon dipping sauce or cream cheese?
They came with whipped cream.
Whipped cream.
Which did make a big difference. Josh got them with ice cream and said they were very good. And I think they had caramel on them. But, yeah, the apple fries were very good. And that's one thing we noted is there were a ton of places to eat. And one thing that I appreciated as a parent of small boys is pretty much every land. First of all, they have a ton of rides, a lot of rides. And also, just about every land, they have a very good, well-themed playground. Playgrounds were all over, and there are tons of things for your kids to do at Legoland, a lot of kiddie rides and that sort of thing. So I don't want to be all negative on Legoland. The other negative, and this will be my last negative, guys, I promise, is they are inefficient. They are not in a hurry at all. You know, Disney loads those rides. They fill every seat, and they get you on there and keep the lines moving. Not at Legoland. You're going to be standing. And so I think that's all the more reason to get there early in the day. You know, we waited 30 minutes for the Ninjago ride, which wasn't bad. But again, the three of us, we're not used to waiting that long.
Right.
And so.
Well, when we talk about your actual time at Disney and you show your times there compared to what they were there, and half the crowd or if not even less than that.
Yeah.
Your time, wait times 15 minutes for some big rides. And
that
again to us rings true because you're not used to waiting lines, and even when you have to wait 30 minutes for a ride that's on a not crowded day, it's just kind
of... Oh, yeah. And that's the thing is, even toward the end of the day when we were riding the Dragon, there weren't many people in line, but they were just not in a hurry to get the ride going. It was, you know, so... And that, again, that's the most crowded week of the year. So go to Legoland, take off work in the middle of the week, and just go drive down. How about that?
In the middle of the week.
Yeah. But that's the other thing, too, is we were able to go and enjoy that and get to experience that because we had the car.
Right.
So, but I believe Josh said if you want to go to Legoland, there's like a $5 shuttle bus you can take from around the Orlando Isle or something like that. But we hit up most of the big rides. They just rethemed one of their roller coasters to make it a 3D coaster, a virtual coaster. We didn't get a chance to ride that. It was extremely slow moving, that line was. But we rode most of the headliners, and given that we were 4 hours there, it was a good day. We had a rough start with having to pay extra for the tickets. I don't want to say I don't want to wholeheartedly endorse Legoland, but if you have small kids, and that was the thing is Bruin sometimes is hesitant to ride some of the bigger roller coasters. These were perfect for him. He was excited to ride them. He enjoyed every one that he rode, and that's why you're going to Legoland most likely is for your kids. And so,
and if you don't want to change the date on your tickets,
right? And if you're not in a hurry to move through the line,
recommend it.
But, Derek, I do want to recommend when Boone gets a little older, a little bigger to take him.
How would you say it is in scale, maybe in size, to say Magic Kingdom?
It's hard to say. I will say that the layout is very complicated. We looked at the map and both, you know, we thought Hollywood Studios was convoluted. The Legoland map is kind of hard to decipher. There's no hub and spoke. Let's put it that way.
Would you say it was the size of Hollywood Studios or the size of Magic Kingdom?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's
a large park. It's a large park with a lot of different things. And there's a couple of places we didn't even get to look at. And they also have a water park, too, which you can, believe it or not, you have to pay extra for.
What?
But in terms of scope, yeah, it's bigger than Hollywood Studios, that's for sure. I'd say it's probably I'd say it's about the size of the Magic Kingdom. But the layout is so complicated to describe. But there's a lot of different themed areas that are pretty cool.
So you throw out the ticket issue. The negative would be mainly waiting in line for some of the things. No hurry. per se for things.
And I don't want to, I mean, I'm going. So,
but other than that, it was pretty good.
It was.
Bruin really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point.
And that was, you know, we didn't, we'd only wanted to spend a half a day there, being that I didn't want to be gone from Sissy and Keegan an entire day. So we just kind of wanted to make an afternoon of it. And it was a good afternoon. It was pleasant. And we got to experience some things we hadn't got to experience in the Disney parks.
And I assume we'll be seeing some of this on Josh's website. He'll probably do an article about it.
I don't know. that's one thing he mentioned was there's so much to cover there in terms of the restaurants and the rides. He said,
Easy Legoland. I see it coming.
Easy Lego.
A spinoff website.
But that was actually his first trip there. We talked the day before. We played putt-putt the day before, and I'll get into that on the next episode. But he'd never been there to Legoland, Florida, and so I was like, hey, I got an extra ticket. You want to go? He said, sure. So, and I don't want to sound like, oh, well, Matt goes on the most crowded week of the year and wants to complain about wait times. It wasn't that. It's just that, you hope that a theme park is expecting to plan for those crowds and is prepared for it. And they were still not in a hurry. And another thing, too, is it's hard to find out how long the wait is. You know, they had electronic wait time signs for a couple rides, but they didn't say anything. It's like they weren't working. And there's no app. And so it just makes you appreciate what Disney does to try to help you plan your day out.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. And that's what you're comparing. You're comparing the greatest in the world at doing it to someone that's not the greatest. And Disney just spoils you.
But overall, it was. I'm glad we went. And we will probably be back to Legoland. I doubt we'll buy the Super Saver ticket again. So, I think I've talked enough today, gentlemen.
I think it's been very informative, though. I've enjoyed listening.
Well, this whole trip was done in the name of research.
We
didn't even want to go, but
I bet. That's probably true for Sissy. Yeah.
It was, and given the fact that our kid came down with pneumonia while we were there, it was an all in all great trip. I'll say more about the Disney side of things in one of our upcoming episodes. So now that I've yacked for a while.
Another point of clarification to the listeners. Yak means talk.
Yes.
And not
yak, yak, yak.
Yak does not mean to vomit.
Yaggity yak, don't come back.
Is that what they said?
Yak.
Is what Lego Man said? Yak
means,
leave.
Yak means vomit sometimes.
And now that we've had this podcast, they may not let me back in. I'll have to go in under an alias.
They're not listening.
That's true. So
I don't think they listen to many customer complaints from the sound of it.
So you couldn't find the box to put in your complaints?
I did finally get an email back about 5 to 7 days later. It was one of those, oh, well, sorry your child's sick, but unfortunately,
our policy states...
Now that I've talked enough, gentlemen, you know what it's time for.
It's time for a flash.
Flash dance?
No.
Oh.
It's time for...
Grinning Greatness.
Who am I in here with? Good grief. Today's question comes from our very own Craig Shelton right here on Bogey Drive. Craig?
Okay. My question is, guys, since you are talking about staying off-site at Wyndham or just any hotel for Disney or non-Disney, I guess my question for you is, what is the one thing that makes your hotel? What's one thing that you really enjoy most about your hotel when you stay there? I kind of asked this question in a different kind of way before, but just a good question. Whether off-site, whether on-site, no matter where you are, what's something that really makes your stay?
Well, we all know the arrival at your hotel can make or break your whole trip from Craig's perspective.
That's true. If you don't get the room you want, it is over.
It can. But I'm talking about accommodation wise, what really sets off your trip when you stay at a Disney or offsite?
What do we appreciate most about our resort?
Okay. Yes.
So what's yours, Craig?
Mine would probably be And I guess location to bus stop for me was always a big thing for when we stay there. I like staying in a place that's quiet where it's not, you know, people running up and down and keeping you up, because when you're in your room, the main reason that you're for there is to sleep. But I like to be able to get up and just walk right to the bus stop real quickly. You know, so it's not a long, drawn-out process. So that, for me, it's probably location to transportation.
Okay. Derek?
I'm going to have to say variety at the food court is pretty big for me. It's not a determining factor on where we stay or anything, but once I'm in the resort, I really appreciate the different types of food that certain resorts have, especially like Riverside. I really like that they have one of the better food courts to me, the quick service food court, and then they have a sit down restaurant too, Boat Rights, which I really think is a hidden gem in the resort dining area. So I would have to go with the food for a special amenity that
I'm not surprised.
I just really enjoy it.
Who would have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk?
Matthew?
Craig, you mentioned location to the bus stops. First thing that came to my mind was proximity to the parks, just being close to the parks. But not to take yours, I'll just go ahead and say it. The pools.
What?
Love the pools.
He doesn't mean that, listeners.
You know, especially with the little ones. I think pools and this trip made me appreciate a good playground. Now, I think anything where my kids can play and I can just sit on a chair and watch them.
Right.
So,
And playgrounds, unlike pools, you don't have to change clothes when you go back to the room.
Right. That's true.
It depends on how intense you play.
Well, that's true. You may need a shower after.
Yeah. So I think any, for me, it's what do they have to offer for my kids in terms of what can my kids enjoy at the resort? And obviously all the Disney parks or all the Disney hotels do that. And one more thing I want to add about Bonnet Creek, I should have said this earlier, is they had a Disney employee, a ticket representative in their main lobby. So, you know, it's kind of like having a concierge at a Disney hotel is pretty much what they had.
Right.
I had to go over there to ask a couple questions about tickets and magic bands, and they were there I went over there a couple times, and they answered them just as if I was at a Disney resort. They also had a SeaWorld representative. They had a Universal representative in their lobby. So if you're looking to buy tickets, you can do it all there at Bonnet Creek. If you have questions about tickets, you can do it there just as if you were staying at the at Pop Century. So,
and most of your timeshare-type resorts do mimic a lot of what Disney does. And they, like you said, the pool and the playgrounds, most will have multiple things. Like you mentioned a while ago, what Wyndham had, Orange Lake had it, and several others that I've looked at has the Lazy Rivers, the playgrounds, the different mini golfs, so many different things, because they want you to, yes, go to Disney and go do what you got to do, but come back and spend your time here and spend your money here. Yeah. So,
and they also had a shuttle bus to take you to the parks. I think you had to pay a small fee for that. But if you don't want to, it's going to be less than paying for parking. So we just, fortunately, we had free parking, so we just drove. But they do have that option, too. Well, guys, I appreciate you all listening to me talk about the good things of our trip and vent a little bit.
We appreciate your quote-unquote research.
Absolutely. Anything in the name of research. But we'll be back soon, and I'll share more about the Disney aspect of that and the good things from Disney and maybe some negative. We'll see.
I bet.
But we appreciate all of our listeners. Like, follow, share, listen, download.
All of it. Beware of flashers.
That's right. And as you leave, be sure to
beware the hitchhiking ghosts
and hurry back.